What's good, good people? You already know what time it is. Another episode of King's Landing. It's your boy, Jared King. Go ahead, follow me on Twitter at @_TheKing_. Follow my brother, Brian King, at KingHead57 on Twitter and Instagram. Shout out to the good people at the Barber's Chair Network for giving us a platform, letting us talk about these crazy Falcons. Go ahead, follow them at Barber's Chair Net. Subscribe to the Barber's Chair Network Patreon at patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network and visit the bcnet.com for more podcasts. We got a very special guest today, my boy Dante Miles. Go ahead, follow him. October's own Tay.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yes, sir.
Good old-fashioned Bears fan. Been through more misery than we have, but you know? We here together to talk about 2 7-win teams and honestly probably going in two different directions. I don't know which way we're going right now, but.
Yeah, bro, I was about to say, I think the misery really unites us. You know, I've been out here in the A since 07. For those who don't know, Jared used to actually live next door to me freshman year, and then we ended up living together. But that's how I've known these two for forever. But, you know, I've seen the ups and downs of the Falcons, been there for a lot of those games. And the Bears, we already know we ain't got to get into the misery. I'll just say 1985 was damn near 40 years ago, and that'll let you know all you need to know. So, yeah, man, it's been tough, but it's interesting. And Sunday, that was a really good game for me. I'm not going to lie. That was a really good game for me. I needed that.
Bro, I ain't seen 30 points scored in Atlanta in a calendar year, bro. Like, and y'all damn near put up 40 in a snowstorm.
And drop 2 touchdowns. I'm going to say Scott couldn't get that one again. And Scott dropped another one. So, like, it could have been damn near 45. Like, it could have got ugly out there.
It should have got ugly. That was a fireable game, bro. You've lost to the 1-win Panthers. You lost to the 1-win Cardinals. And you let the Bears beat you by 20.
Yeah.
Like.
And it's always frustrating with y'all, like, and I damn near don't want to say from the outside looking in, because living here, I see every game. But I don't know what the hell Arthur Smith be doing sometimes.
Sometimes.
Like, bro, you will watch the Falcons play, and it's like, okay, they can run the ball at damn near at will. Okay, we got all these tall weapons on the outside, but we're not going to use them. Just fuck it. We're going to forget them. They not here. And then when Bijan will get a little bit of momentum, all right, we're going to throw Algier in there. You come sit down now. Like, it's never any rhythm with y'all offense. And last year, when I saw what y'all was building, I'm like, okay, you bring Bijan in, we might get to it. Really just need to be okay. But none of that has happened this season.
Yeah, bro. I mean, you said it plainly. As a Bears fan, it's like you saw last year, okay, cool. Mariota's a pumpkin. Ritter, just don't go out there just doing dumb shit. But then Art turned into the pumpkin, because it's like, you know, even with Cordero Patterson, it's like you said all offseason, it's like, oh, he's the Joker. You put the depth chart out, give him a whole new position, and then barely use the man all season long. Like, you got Kyle Pitts getting the same amount of targets as Van Jefferson. He got one catch for 5 yards.
Crazy.
It's just, it's malpractice, bro. It's malpractice. This offense should not have been this inept, even with Desmond Ridder at quarterback, because you just saw Mason Rudolph put up 30 points against the Seahawks.
Yeah, bro, I don't get it. I really don't get it. And, like, I wasn't high on Ridder like some of y'all were, but I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt just off the strength. One thing I've always said, when you got a young quarterback, if you at least surround him with weapons, he got a shot. Like, he got a shot. It ain't like prime example. Bryce, he's in Carolina fighting for his fucking life right now. Like, they have nothing. Adam Thielen is his number one. They don't have anything. But when I saw the situation, I'm like, okay, they might get it going. And then it was just like, nah. Even when you made the QB, the switch at QB, I thought it was going to be a little spark, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, the problem with Ritter is they don't have a plan with Ritter. And it's clear as day, even when he's out there executing. Like you said, there's no flow to the offense between Ritter or Arthur Smith. It's like neither one of them can get into a flow of it between the substitutions and the player personnel and Ritter's lack of control of the offense. It's just, it's a shit show.
Then you bringing him in for trick plays. Anytime Ritter touches the field, now we know, like, okay, some fluke shit's about to happen. Like, they're not running a real play here, guys. Like, you said,
yeah, what, about seven snaps, and the fumble and a pick.
That shit was terrible.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, it's just, it's bad. It's bad processing. It's, the Bears gave DJ Moore 13 targets. We know every week they're going to flood the system with targets to DJ Moore. We know this. We got 10 targets. He got 13 targets, 9 catches, 159 yards. DJ Moore was cooking like he does on a weekly basis. Cool. We got Drake London 10 targets, and he got 4 catches for 56 yards. And it's like, he don't even – like, Art don't even know how to spam. You got 3 top 10 picks, and you can't even just spam production out of them. And it's like, that's not a quarterback issue. That's a scheme issue. That's a confidence in your weapons issue. Bro, I don't get it, bro. Like, I don't. Like, and I think – you know, with them saying he was safe, barring a collapse. I'm like, we lost to the Panthers. Now we just lost to the Bears like that. Bruh's coaching for his job against the Saints in New Orleans. This is the type of moment that
they
to put this franchise into disarray, they chomping at the bit for it.
You're right, because like with the Bears going into Green Bay on Sunday, we haven't won in Green Bay in like 8 or 9 years. So that's a big game. But like, I'm sure Saints fans, like you said, they already thinking, you know, we could get this dude fired, you know, and really change the trajectory of this team. Because like you said, right now it really feels like the Bears and the Falcons are going in two different directions. Like when we both came into this season with damn near the same expectations. Like, yo, we just need a quarterback. Like, you know, we building, we got the potential to get more weapons, especially now when you see the Bears end up with the number one pick again. So it's like, you know, the potential is there, but it's like, what you going to do about at the QB position? But
yeah, she's wild. She's wild.
Even though you know me, I'm a glass half full guy, so y'all still got a lot of options, but it's just crazy to be sitting here, you know, going into week 17, and this is the conversation.
We talked what, a month ago? We were like, hold off. We're going to smoke y'all boys in a month. We're going to see it. Now it's like,
we kicked y'all ass. Like, that was crazy.
Y'all earned the number one pick last year and improved. We still got 7 wins. We're going to have the same 7 wins and the 8th overall pick for the 3rd year in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro. And I was saying, it's crazy. And we'll get into it. We talk about, you know, Justin Fields, whether they keep him or not. But like, as much say what you want, we've doubled our win total from last season. We won 3 games last year. We got 7 now. We could end the season with 8. And we lost 3 games where we had double digits leads in the 4th quarter. Like, so this team is close. Like, it's closer than a lot of people want to admit. You know, partially that is just narratives. I feel like sports media today as a whole is just narrative driven. It's not about what's actually happening on the field. It's what people want to see. So, you know, people talking about the QB clock and all the money, and we talked about the business side, and I get it, but at the same time, when you watch everything and put all the factors together, it's like, nah, this team, they could really do something if you just build around this kid.
Yep. So you keeping Fields in Atlanta, in Chicago? You're not shipping them out.
100%. I went a little bit back and forth. I've been mainly keep Justin. I've been saying that all season. I'll be honest and, you know, give him a little critique at first. Everybody knows I'm not just a fanboy, but like the fumbling, that's an issue for me. You know, he has 35 fumbles in 3 seasons and he's missed games in 2 of those seasons. So it's not 3 full seasons. That's a lot of fumbles. So that's something you got to, you know, take into consideration. His process and, you know, typical rookie shit, him reading defenses. Sometimes we've seen it, you know, where he has a hitch, where he sees the guy open and just doesn't trust it and doesn't throw it. But, you know, throughout this last run, he's been on these last 5 or 6 games, he's seen him processing a lot better and going through his reads and doing that. So for me, like I just said, bro, you had the potential to win 8 games. You lost 3 games where you had a lead in the fourth quarter. The locker room is 100% bought in. And then you have the potential to have to trade the number one pick and get even more than what you got last year, which, by the way, turned into DJ Moore, your starting CB2 and Tyreek Stevenson from Miami. The trade that we did with Roquan turned into Kyler Gordon. So all of the moves you've made to set this up for Justin have worked. So it's like, why not keep making those moves and have like a situation in Philadelphia where you have a young quarterback and he's surrounded by talent? So if I'm Ryan Poles, I'm legit. I'm gonna play it up in the media now. I'm not, you know, because I want the value of that pick to be as high as possible. But all these teams talking about Caleb is generational and all that. Okay. All right, let me get 3 first-rounders. Let me get 2 first-rounders, second-rounder. Let me get a quality vet that's on a manageable contract. Like, we're going to get something. And, like, when you have that many opportunities to fill 4 or 5 holes as opposed to 1 hole in a single offseason, I don't think you could pass that up. Now, I can understand if Justin was playing like Trubisky, then it's like, okay, yeah, we got to start this over. But when you've seen the man play, How can you turn it away when year one was a lame duck coach? He only started 7 games, but it was a lame duck coach who clearly knew his job was over. Year two was a blatant tank where you stripped the roster down and didn't have anybody. He was playing with practice squad receivers and nobody on the O-line. Year three, you've seen the progress and you've seen, you know, the flashes of what he can be. So I'm like, I understand all that, you know, like I said, rookie clock shit, but no, I'm gonna pick up his 5th-year option. At worst, I'll franchise him. But if not, I'll give him that Lamar Jackson deal. And then you get your money when you show me that you can consistently be the guy I think you could be.
Man. That's a compelling argument. I'm taking Caleb every day of the week.
Most people will. I already know.
Yeah, it's really because the money. Because it's like, yeah, you can get more picks. But it's like, if they can start that rookie contract, because like look at Philly, this was their year. That money about to kick in. The Chargers are fucked having to pay Justin Herbert now. They can't really fix much of that roster. Like once that bag comes due, and that's really my only hesitation for the Falcons trade for Justin Fields, because it's like you're gonna have to pay him in a second versus getting a rookie to keep building. Like I think, and that's the weird thing is like the Bears and the Falcons basically had a similar 3-year window where it's like the first 2 years for the Falcons, no coach, no quarterback would have made this team better. It's because it's like Justin would have been here dealing with the same shit. It would have been no Kyle Pitts his first year, you know, no Calvin Ridley. Like the weapons we had been ass. So it's like you dealing with the same questions, but I think that's why they didn't want to take Fields. They didn't want to be sitting in this spot today trying to figure out, do I even have a quarterback if we haven't even really surrounded him with nothing? Because it's like, you can see what he does with DJ Moore. DJ Moore, the only NFL receiver he's had. And they put up weekly production.
You got to think, Justin has missed 4 games. And obviously, Bajent was targeting DJ too. But DJ has got 81 catches and 1,200 yards or something like that. He'd have over 1,600 yards if Justin played every game, bro. Yeah. Like, and that's the one receiver. You got really 1.5 receivers on this team. Like, Mooney's cool, but Mooney's a 3. He's a 2. He's your 3. Valus Jones can't catch the fucking ball. Scott was supposed to be your speed star out of Cincinnati. He's okay, but he's still a rookie, bro. So you don't have many options. Komet is good, but I still would go get Brock Bowers. That's just me. Like, I just feel like that would be just a crazy offense. But offensive wise, you haven't put much talent around him and you've seen the flashes, bro. Mm-hmm. So it's like, let's load this up. We didn't fix the tackle spots. We got our left guard. Let's get this man a smart center who can actually, you know, slide protection and not get this man killed. And let's see what we could do. Yeah. I understand everybody seeing the football side of it. $9 million a year is a lot less than $40 million a year, which is probably what Justin would get. I know everybody's looking at the big numbers. He's not getting 45. He's going to
get the Daniel Jones contract.
Yeah, he'll get 30, 40, you know, probably $75 million guaranteed in those first two with opt-out options, that type of shit. So the money don't really scare me. I get it. But just with this franchise, with this team, like as a Bears fan, I can't tell you the last time I watched a game and you had the crowd chanting, "We want Fields." Like, you know, this is the city you, bro, you've seen it. This is a city that we love our backup quarterbacks. That's one thing we do. We trying to get rid of somebody. That's one thing we always do. And they were sitting there like letting it be known, like, nah, like this is our guy. This is who we want. And so I understand, like, I don't think that you can really make a wrong move here. I think either way the Bears would be all right. But if I got the pick, especially if the return is what we think it could be, I'm trading that pick, bro, 100%.
I can't wait. I think the other thing too is, and there's no way around it, Poles gonna be looking at CJ Stroud and what he did for that Texans team. So it's like you get that in one pick versus, you know, Justin Fields still, he's starting to figure it out, but he's still trying to figure it out. But I mean, he's still young, what, 25 going into next year? So it's like, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, but and again, bro, I feel you, CJ, and like other, yeah, you can name the young quarterback, but all those quarterbacks had a offensive mind with them that was ready to rock. Luke Getsy, this is his second year as offensive coordinator. He was the fucking clipboard holder in Green Bay, let's be honest. Like, you know, that's this new made-up position, QB games coach, whatever the fuck it is. But that's what he was in Green Bay. And so you've seen it in the play calling and the game scripts that it's like, okay, he's definitely not, you know, comfortable. Like, he's one of those, he's, you know, the typical thing we see with a lot of these offensive geniuses is where they feel like, I'm going to call my play and it's going to work because I'm the smartest person in this fucking building. Like, we saw it with Matt Nagy. We used to see it with Adam Gase, Mike Martz, all of them. And so with Getz, Luke Getsy, we've seen him just refuse to play the Justin strengths. But as they've gotten better and as you've seen the success, you notice it's blatant where the play calling is different. And that's why I always stall Justin out, because it's like, even the games where we blew the leads, I'm like, bro, are you watching them? Like, first down run, second down run. Now we forced ourselves in a third and long. Oh, yeah, we're going to call a screenplay. Oh, yeah, everybody knows we're calling the screenplay. Fuck it. We're going to call the same screenplay out the same formation to the other side of the field. You know, like simple stuff like that. It's like, come on, bro. Like, so we feel so much of the failures have been him being set up to fail as opposed to him just going out there and being trash. Like, it's one thing we can see a guy go out there and just, he's not good. He ain't got it. And like with the NFL, with that type of talent, it's usually clear when a guy ain't got it. But you know, with Justin, when you've seen what we've seen from him, it's like, nah, I don't understand why a lot of the conversation around him has been so, you know, extreme. Either he's garbage or you think he's great. Like, nah, I'm going to be honest with you. I've seen flashes of really good. I've seen some shit that makes me say, what the fuck is he doing? But at the end of the day, bro, that's what it comes with a young quarterback. Everybody's not going to be that flash in the pan, come in and be a superstar. That's just not reality. And like far too often, we let the outliers mess up our perspective about what's going to happen. Yeah, you can't do that. Like, everybody's not going to be a superstar day one. You just not. That don't mean he can't be really good. Look how they ran Geno out of New York, and then he went to Seattle and revived his career.
Hey, we doing the same thing with Ritter. I'm just...
I mean, the Arthur Smith shit is... He is bad. Like, some of the shit y'all do just does not make sense.
It don't matter what quarterback. Like, that's the comment I make, like, so often. Like, you know, people think I'm caping for Ritter, and I'm like, no, but, like, bro, drop any quarterback in there and tell me what's happening different. So... I don't know. What's your call, brother? You keep it Fields or you take it Caleb if you're in Chicago?
I'm just trying to figure out why you wouldn't draft Marvin Harrison Jr.
Then you keep it Fields.
I mean, that's pretty straightforward. You already got your ex receiver that can tutor Marvin Harrison Jr. That's an unstoppable offense. You got Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert. That's a pretty straightforward offense. And Cole Kmet isn't trash, so. That's like 1 + 1 = 2 for me. And that gets you to the playoffs in that division.
So you taking Marvin Harrison one. You sitting there taking
number one.
Okay.
You get your Ohio State Big Ten kid that knows how to play in the snow, that's 6'4", 205, can run with the wind, and can run, that can actually play football, going up against Detroit. You're going to have to score some points. Caleb Williams, you reset this, the process with DJ Moore. DJ Moore is going to get disgruntled because I don't believe in Caleb Williams like that. I don't think he's better than Justin Fields as a whole. And DJ Moore is how many years into the NFL? He played with Cam. So
I think it's year six.
Yeah, year six. I'm not trying to play with no rookie. Especially not in Chicago. So you bring in Marvin Harrison. You could keep Tonya. Hell, he's still legit. You still got your two backs. Build up the offensive line. The defense is solid enough to win games. And I say you build up the offensive line and keep it pushing. It's pretty straightforward. I don't feel like he fits in Atlanta as much as people want him because of the contract that we'll have to pay him. And then if we pay him that contract, how do we balance AJ Pitts? Drake is coming up soon. Those are big contracts. So I think the Falcons need to draft a young quarterback for sure. But I don't think Justin Fields needs to go anywhere. And I think they just need to just take that splash and bolster that offense.
Yeah.
And they're gonna have they're about to build a new stadium. It's gonna be indoor.
Yeah.
So we say. So now you got an indoor track team.
Yeah. I'm gonna say the only way I draft Marvin at one is if the Cardinals end up at two, which I think statistically they can't anymore. Because that's the only team. Once they said, no, Kyler's our guy, I know for a fact that they can get their hands on Marvin Harrison, they're going to take him. So I think even though, like, I think Neighbors is going to be great. I think Buddy from Washington is going to be really good. So you got options. This is, like I was telling Jared before we started, when you're looking at all the mocks, all you're seeing is wide receiver, O-line, wide receiver, edge rusher, wide receiver. So with the potential there, if that package is what they claim it could be, especially, I know Tepper is an idiot, but look at the new ownership group in Washington. They need a quarterback. Caleb is from DC. They got the third pick. We can trade down, stay in the top five, still get Marvin, and still get get those draft picks we were talking about, and build around this squad, bro. Like, I'm with you though. Like, I told people, because like I've told y'all this in our random football talks, but I feel like, you know, wide receiver is starting to get like running back, where I don't need the greatest person alive. Give me two good pass catchers, you know what I'm saying? A solid tight end, and we can go to work. So Marvin, I don't have to have Marvin Harrison. I would love it, but I don't have to have him.
It's the opportunity cost where it's like, to stay at one, you're not taking a quarterback, and then you're not getting the haul for future picks. And the gap between Marvin and Neighbors, Odunze, like, is not – that's three first-round picks you passing up, in my opinion. But it's like, yeah, like, if that's your guy, that's your guy. Like, if that's Julio, Megatron – And you pass up on that opportunity, you gotta be able to live with it. You gotta get something. That's why I think it's either quarterback or they moving off that pick, because folks are desperate right now.
Yeah.
Who's the receiver last year? Because if y'all would have stayed at one, that was the top. Last year it was like, well, if the Bears stay at one, they're not taking a quarterback, so they're gonna go, you know,
I think it was like they wanted us to go at JSN or Olave.
Yeah, and I was like,
they're not the same beast. This man is 6'4", running a 4.4.
I'm with you, but it's like, they should have stayed at one and taken like Will Anderson last year. If they moved off last year, it's either they moving off again this year or they going quarterback. I think Marvin Harrison, I think, is a perfect Bear receiver. He's basically faster Brandon Marshall for y'all, but. Bro, I don't think Poles is gonna let nobody get off that easy. He's gonna draw blood from somebody for that first.
and the way the hype is continuing to go, and I really think the combine, even though I think last year we traded it right before the combine, but once those pro days kick up, you know, everybody's throwing the ball 70 yards in shorts, and you know, the hype machine starts, but he gonna get a king's ransom for that pick. Yeah. Like I was joking with our homie Jordan, but I was like, hey man, go ahead, tell Mr. Davis, go ahead, throw us Max Crosby, 3 firsts. You know, we didn't fleece y'all once before. Just go ahead and do it again, bro. Just
run it
that
back.
Kills 2 birds with 1 stone, bro. I got Sweat on one side, I got Max on the other side.
And three, we're
gonna
firsts.
Be lighting folks up, bro. And three
that's,
firsts,
that, and that's nasty because then you do that, you still that means you still got 2 firsts this year, you still got, and now you adding to the additional picks that you got coming from Carolina. And so it's just like you just literally just starting to stack up so much damn capital to just do whatever you want. And like you said, you mess around, get Max Crosby, you mess around, get another just like DJ Moore type of player anywhere else on your roster. Now you're starting to get another proven vet pillar player in another haul of first round picks to just keep adding with
him. Yeah, bro.
I can see it. I hope the Falcons either go get Justin Fields or get Jaden Daniels. I don't think they need to move to one for Caleb. I like Caleb, but I don't want them to be the ones to be like, all right, we're gonna give you 2 first round picks and you know, I don't know who they give up. Like shit. Since y'all last is Kyle Pitts,
But no, that's the thing. Like, I think that would be a bad move for y'all to trade for the number one pick. Cause when you're building the team, you don't want to give up that many assets.
No.
And like that's why I didn't like Carolina doing. Cause look at Carolina, bro. They traded the number one pick, bro. And they're gonna be fucked for a minute. Like they're gonna be cooked for a minute. Yeah. And it's really crazy. But I think giving up them type of assets, and like I understand, you know, he had the knee injuries in college, but if I'm Atlanta, I'm looking at Penix lighting shit up, and I'm like, wait a minute. Like,
come on, baby. Come on, baby. I've been on the Penix train since my touchdown, man. That left arm is touched by God, bro.
Bro, he was making, man, like, it's one thing. Yeah, they try to give him, they try to give him the whole
lefty.
Yeah.
It's different in the NFL. Okay. It's not the same.
Well, I'm gonna say, well, you know, because you play. So talk to me about that. Like some play design when you got a left-handed quarterback. How different is that?
Because bro, you gotta understand, like you literally have to flip the offense to accommodate the left-handed quarterback. It's not the same. It's not as simple as it seems. You can't run right-handed plays for left-handed quarterbacks. It's just different. And so a lot of coordinators don't think about that aspect of the game. And then when you're running routes and catching passes from a left-handed quarterback, the ball rotation is thrown off. And so he'll probably have to deal with a lot of drop balls from people who aren't used to catching from left-handed quarterbacks, i.e. Mike Vick. Like how many left-handed quarterbacks have been successful and won a Super Bowl in the NFL?
It ain't too many of them, so I can't give you that offhand, but I get
Steve Vic, Young. Shit.
Vic had no touch. This man be dropping them to the point where it's like if you dropping it, that's a wide receiver drop. I agree on the concept. And then like Mike McDaniel's brother, he took Tua. He said, "Bro, don't worry about it. It's all downfield." Like that's why I think if they take Penix, I don't think Arthur Smith is the fit because I don't think he's capable of doing what you just said. Where it's like. Can he adjust to Penix? Hell no. Got no faith in him. But yeah, if they fire him and get a legit
quarterback passing game coordinator.
Yeah, if they get quarterback friendly and get Penix, I can see it working.
It's gonna have to be a staff around him that knows what he's doing, i.e., like you said, like McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
McDaniel's dialing that shit up down there in Miami.
It don't matter what hand to throw it with, bro. Tyreek down there somewhere.
And Tyreek is there. So you in addition to dialing it up, you have him surrounded by exceptional speed.
Yep.
Speed out the ass.
Yeah, bro. That's the X factor.
Yep.
But if you stack him, you throw him right in this offense with these play calls, I don't want to see it.
Mm-mm. That's why if it's left as is, Jaden Daniels is the only one I trust that could come in day one and make this work. But if they fire him and open up the door, I think Penix makes a lot of sense.
I agree. I like his size, 2'6", 3", roughly 215?
Mm-hmm.
That's great quarterback size.
Yep.
He could put 10 pounds on and be ideal.
Yeah. I mean, I know people don't like J.J. McCarthy, but
he looked okay yesterday.
Yeah, he better than Ritter, bro. Like, I would not be mad if we stayed put and the hand we got dealt was J.J. McCarthy. It's like, all right, like, they just cannot – Ritter just was too bad, and I don't want them to go vet. Don't go get Kirk. Don't go get Tannehill. Don't waste your – don't go get Russ. Don't waste your time doing all that. So, we're going to see, man. Hey, I'm glad we didn't have to talk too much about that ass kicking. Falcons lost 37-17. The Bears look good. And we're gonna call it what it is, Dante. You won this round, bro.
Yeah, hey,
man. I told him, I gotta hop on here today, talk my shit, because like we have been hyping up this matchup for a few weeks. I didn't know what it was gonna be, but like I said, man, we had dropped Hail Mary away from really going on that run I was talking about. But
you called it straight up. Y'all 4-1 the last five.
Man, like, that's man.
Meanwhile, we looking at a solid 1-3, about to be, ooh, baby.
Like you said, bro, one thing about the Falcons, bro, because this is like you said, y'all about to have like the 8th pick for like the 4th year in a row. And then remember we was in school, I want to say y'all picked like 13th, like 3 years straight. Like,
yeah,
y'all were always going to run at the end of the year to end up 8-8. And it's like, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing, bro?
Who is managing this?
I mean, this is the kind of collapse that we've needed for a couple years, but it's like this is the team that could have won 10 games. Like we collapsed in a season where we had the easiest schedule in the league. Like we lost to bums.
Top 10 defense. Like that's another thing. Like y'all lost it. Wasn't the game against Carolina like 9-6 or some shit?
9-7, bro.
Yeah, see, that's unacceptable, bro. I'd be pissed. I had to fight somebody in the locker room after that. We lose 9-7.
And we lost 9-7 when we were in field goal range up 7-6. With a quarterback who got the most turnover worthy throws in the league. You got the game in hand and you don't just run it 3 straight times with one of the best running games in the league.
It's just like how we talked about, like Justin has a lot of fluky picks. Desmond Ridder has those. Why the fuck did he throw that ball? You know what I mean? Like when he threw that ball, I said, "Whoa, why did he do that?" I was like, "Why did he do that, bro?"
Triple coverage.
Y'all got some choices on y'all hands. It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun, man. But hey, thank you for beating the Falcons. The heat is on Arthur Smith. I don't think he survives next week. So,
oh yo, no, if he loses to New Orleans, it's a wrap. Like I don't care what Arthur's saying. Like because Quiet has just kept. This is another thing we don't talk about with a lot of these owners and stuff. They getting old. So, like, I think Arthur's one of those owners where he wants to win a Super Bowl soon. Like, that's why I think, unfortunately, Jared, y'all might go after a veteran quarterback. Because I think Art wants to win now. Like, it's not really one of those things where he has the patience to try to groom a guy. Should y'all do it? Yes, y'all should have been doing that 2 years before you got rid of Matt. But they just haven't been doing that because I think Arthur is going to be perpetually stuck in win now mode because it's like, yo, I'm old. I just got this new stadium. I want to win a Super Bowl.
We ain't seen a playoff game in that stadium since it got built.
No. Won an MLS Cup and all type of shit. And like you said, have not hosted a playoff game yet.
Yeah, that's man. True. Hey, he built that stadium for college football. He just didn't know it.
UGA South, you feel me?
Yeah, that's UGA.
They second home stadium.
Bryant Denny East, like.
I was gonna say, don't ground it so fast. We had a bad game yesterday.
But yeah, no, I'll holler at y'all boys.
All right, bro. Hey,
all right, Brandon.
Yes, sir.
Man,
brother.
I can't believe it's here, brother. Last game of the season.
Toilet bowl. And we coming off this game.
It is officially 2024. Glad to see you still here. But Art fighting for his life in New Orleans. That boy better get him a little bowl of gumbo before the game start. Cause hey. He asked me, "Hey,
you about to get up out of here, brother."
This is gonna be the most Falcons game. I don't even know how much trash I'm gonna talk this week about the Saints, because this is the most Falcons. This is the most Falcon way to end the season.
Mm-hmm.
Easiest strength of schedule. Now your head coach is on the hot seat, and he has to win in New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
And Matt Ryan is the broadcasting announcer. I'm like, bro, it's perfect. It's truly perfect. Like, I don't know how much joy he's going to have seeing the Falcons lose, because he ain't that type of person. But, boy, I know he's going to be giggling deep down. Mm-mm-mm. It's going to be like, damn, look at what you lost. I hope Heineke and Ritter play. They both throw a pick.
I just want to know, is Cordero going to touch the ball?
That's going to be interesting. Again, he's not happy. And even at this point, it's like, you give him the ball, he's going to do with it. So it's only going to further cement the fact that you didn't give him the ball all season.
Mm-hmm.
And so then do you not give him the ball out of spite? And then you lose, and it's like, you're not even giving your best players the ball routinely.
He didn't even give him the ball. He probably didn't get a touch in Chicago. Not one touch.
Chicago.
Like, you know he want to turn up.
Yep. Not one touch, not one target. And it's like, oh, well, he hasn't lost the locker room. Ain't no way Kyle Pitts ain't frustrated. Ain't no way Cordero ain't frustrated. Like, ain't no way they frustrated, but like, yeah, they lost the locker room because you lucky you ain't got a George Pickens in there. You lucky you ain't got a Marcus Peters in there. Like, they don't have those volatile players that'll light a coach ass up. That's but the they're not happy.
That's the problem.
So
you always need a fool on your team to hold folks accountable. But we don't have that. We have respectful gentlemen.
Yep.
And that's gotten us to be mediocre year in and year out.
Yep.
Because we are so focused on leadership. But then when the leaders don't show up, we don't have nobody to hold them accountable.
No, I think that's why we always go 7-10 is because of the leaders. But the floor is always decent. That's why we ain't never picking that high. But yeah, you need some dogs. But I think it's coming, man. I think Terry didn't hire Art. They already said, the article came out. They said they are not a package deal, which I'm glad, because it's like Terry cooked.
I'm about to say, Terry earned his money.
Yeah, draft class went up. Defense, you got top 10 defense. He spent that check, top 10 defense. I use top 10 picks on offense. Shit. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. The problem is the coach. The offensive staff is the problem. It's not the GM, and it's not the defense.
So we're about to be a defensive team going forward?
No, they're going to – I'm truly – you need an offense. Art just didn't adapt, which shocks me, because it's like, bro, what he ran with Matt Ryan and what he ran with Mariota were two totally different offenses. And it was like, see, so you get him, he can work with what he's got, but then you get to this year and it's like, but you lose Charles London, you got Ragon as your offensive coordinator. Like, then it's like, again, coaching decisions. You built this dumb shit. Like, everybody saw what was being built from the personnel, but we didn't know what the scheme was going to look like. And now that we see what the scheme looks like, everybody's like, see, we told you it wasn't going to work. It ain't work, because he's giving Van Jefferson more opportunities than he's giving to Kyle Pitts. And Van Jefferson went on the team when we were talking about this last May.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, like, I can't keep Art, bro. I'm an Art fan. I like Art, but bro, he failed as a head coach.
Sure did. And
there's no way, even if he wins on Sunday, the fact that you already talking about if you lose, you might not be working here tomorrow, bro, fire him. That's like having a girlfriend saying, if you don't do this shit right, I'm going to break up with you. You want to break up, bro? You're just looking for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Like they said on Instagram, you just wait until she comes back to you smelling like balloons.
It's a wrap, man. So, and the Saints, if we were playing the Panthers, if we were playing the Bucks, I'd be like, ah, we might win this game. They are chomping at the bit. First off, they got to win to keep their playoff hopes alive. And we could put your dick in the dirt in New Orleans.
It's so funny. Like, I'm so checked out of this season. Like, I don't really care about this game.
Yeah, bro.
And they are ready. I know they're ready. They ready for payback too. Didn't we smoke them? We had a good time.
Yeah, we beat them solidly. What was that score?
Yeah.
24-15. Yeah. Hey.
Because they were kicking field goals. I remember I was talking to Raising fans.
Yep.
Came back hoarse. For what? Hey.
Yeah, I'm checked out.
Just come down. It's the last week of the season.
Yep. I'm ready for this one to wrap up. I'm going to watch my one last game here in this here apartment, and we packing it up just like Art. Me and Art gonna be packing on Black Monday. We're gonna be packing together.
Well, there are two men in the truck.
No, boy, your box. Bye. He ain't got enough. He can go. He ain't been there long enough. Get your razor.
He gonna find a coordinator position like DQ.
He'd probably go back to Tennessee. I wouldn't even be mad at it.
Ugh.
Them Titans? Him and Will Levis? I just see
Memphis
him.
Memphis need their team.
Hey. Say that louder for the people.
Should I get close to the mic like you say? Yes. Memphis needs their own team.
Yes. Tennessee should be a two-sport state. Mm-hmm. The two-team state.
Just how they battling with the Texans, they need to do that with Memphis.
The interstate rivalry. That would be fun. But, yeah. I don't really got much of nothing, bro. Like, they playing the Saints. ESPN got the Saints predicted to win this game 60%. Of the time.
Boy, I still put money on it.
Heineke got a hey, look. Oh, wait. This is the Desmond Ridder game. If Ridder plays.
Oh, God.
Peep this. The over-under on the season for Desmond Ridder's passing yards was 2,600. I said, there ain't no damn way he don't get more than 2,600 yards. How many yards am I
getting? I'm not getting it.
How much he got?
2,400.
He got 2,545. He just needs 55 yards.
He's not going to get it.
That's crazy. Vegas got that boy down to 50 yards. Hey, but if he plays, he getting it.
That's whoever
bet on that over needs Desmond Ridder to play. And Heineken ain't good. Heineken ankle is jacked up, so he might be playing. Could you imagine? Again, this season only gets worse if you have to go to New Orleans and win this game on the arm of Desmond Ridder.
That's so bad.
And your dumbass going to throw the ball 30 times. Mm-hmm. He going to throw it 30, 35 times.
I know, Heineke just threw it 29 times and completed 10 passes. And threw three picks. Ridder went 3 for 4 for 17 yards and a pick.
Yep.
This is some trash.
Yep.
And you think we just about to just run the ball the whole game?
They going to be down, bro. Game script. They ain't going to have no choice.
This is bad.
And, like, the other thing. Drake London just set the record for the most catches in the first two seasons for the Falcons receiver And my dog still don't have 1,000 yards.
That's because he's slow.
They no, need bro, some you speed can, on this you dog can, on field. You can spam. I don't you need can. Him to be You're fast, right. But it's like, bro, we giving him – we not – He ain't no slower than Mike Evans. He ain't no slower than Brandon Marshall. He ain't no slower than DeAndre Hopkins.
I can't give you that. I think I got him. Evans is 6'5 with craftiness.
Bro. But that's polished. What I'm saying. None of them that fast. Like you can get Drake on some slants. We ain't even running no 3x1 sets with no backside slants. Like we ain't doing it. That's what I'm saying. He ain't no slower than Romeo Dubs.
Fact. Right.
Like, it's just so crazy how it's like all of this talent has been mismanaged. Like, you looking at this Falcons roster and everybody's like, all they need is a quarterback. And it's like, yeah, but then you got a dummy running these, calling these plays, bro. Like, that's the frustrating part. So, I mean, hey, let Bijan get 52 yards. He got 1,000 yards rushing. Drake needs to put up 136 yards to put up 1,000 yards. Like, this would be one of those games if I was Art that I at least just did that.
Hit the thresholds.
Yeah. I'm going to at least get Bijan 1,000 yards rushing. I'm going to at least just say, Drake, I'm going to give you 15 targets. You're going to get this ball, and you're going to get sick of it.
He'd be the fool to miss him on purpose.
Who, Ritter?
No, the coach. Oh. He make him miss it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question for you. Does Ritter throw more picks than touchdowns tomorrow, Sunday?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But he hits his yardage mark for the money.
Yeah, if he starts, we give him 50 yards. That's the easy part. That is the easy part.
Brother, Tyler Algier had a catch and run for 75 yards.
Uh-huh.
Outside of that, Drake had 56 yards. That was one catch. Drake had 56 yards on 10 targets.
Stupid. That's what I'm saying. Stupid.
Van Jefferson, 19 yards. Pruitt, 14 yards. Bijan, 11. And Kyle Pitts, 5. And that's it.
That's it for the show. Mm-hmm.
There is a scenario where he doesn't clear 50 yards.
He getting 50, bro.
I think he gets it, but still. What we just been witnessing over these past few weeks. And that false hope. Who did we just beat that didn't matter?
The Colts.
Yeah.
Smoked them, bro.
Didn't even matter.
Beat the Colts 29-10.
Colts were like that dude that walks in the wrong neighborhood and get beat up and didn't know what kind of fire he was about to walk into. Because we had just lost to the Panthers. And they were like, oh, yeah, man, y'all ain't about nothing. And they got them paws put on them and had to go to Chicago and play in the snow.
That's what I don't get, bro. You lose 29-25 to the Bucks, 9-7 to the Panthers. And remember now, don't sleep. We almost lost to them Jets that 13-8 game. We almost lost that shit.
13-8.
Mm-hmm.
We're struggling.
And we're chomping at the bit saying, I mean, it's not the coach. Who is it? You got 3 top 10 picks, and you got a good O-line, you got a good running game, and you scoring 17 points. And that's what trips me out. And fans want to say, I don't want Justin Fields, he's ass. He just kicked our ass. If that's ass, I want it, bro. If that right. is ass. Ooh. I got quarterback Desmond Ridder threw 10 touchdowns this season. Justin Fields got 16. And only 9 interceptions. And he missed 4 games.
Like, it's that other factor, bro. Like,
hey,
Ridder was benched because Titans. That's why he missed the games. Not from injury.
Twice.
Mm-mm-mm.
benched him twice. So yeah, bro.
And I don't want to bring no Caleb Williams into this. Not no Baker Mayfield part two. Like, I need a real baller. Obviously, winning in college doesn't matter because we thought that was would have been the X factor for Ritter. And now we're in the doldrums again. But don't bring no little 6'1 quarterback in here from USC. I don't care about no USC connection. This ain't California.
That's the game today, baby. They're going to be 6'1, 6'2. Yep.
Looking like Baker Mayfield.
Hey, Baker got them Bucks in the playoffs.
No, Mike Evans got the Bucks in the playoffs.
Who throwing them the ball?
Throw the ball. When you 6'5 and a monster, it's a different story.
Drake, bro, I'm sitting here looking.
Drake ain't that monster. Drake is a basketball player. Mike Evans is a legit football. He is thick built, thickly built. Drake is slender and 6'4". Mike Evans is about 240.
You fact checking your weight?
Yeah, we're gonna check these. I'm not gonna just be talking crazy without backing it up. Drake 231.
Drake, he got 15 pounds on Drake.
That's a lot in the NFL.
I ain't saying it's not, but it's like, bro, we should be the DJ Moore treatment, the Mike Evans treatment. What? Who else are we throwing the ball to if it's not Kyle Pitts? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Baker Smart, he said.
Bijan, they try to make Bijan a receiver like some fools.
Man.
That was the dumbest shit of all time, bro. I hated that. I hated that even was a thought. This is a running back. This is a top flight running back. What are you talking about? You going to make him a receiver?
Hey.
That's when I knew.
He was
a fool.
They was going for they're going for the Niners offense, but they don't got Kyle. That's all it is. That's what it come down to. Bijan could do everything. Debo
played receiver, though.
Cordero was on the bench. That's what I'm saying. It's like, bro, the pieces were there for them to be so much better than this shit. And they just... Hey.
Hey, he's 6'4", 213. That's light, brother.
Hey.
That's skinny. That's Jaden Daniels.
That boy should still be getting 10 targets a game for more than 50.
Mike Evans drink a beer and eat a burger. He 240. And running with the wind.
This boy. Big.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, we can go ahead and wrap this one up, man. Hey, what's the score prediction? Over under set at 42.5, and they only given New Orleans a 3-point line.
First of all, I'm not finna pick for these sorry ass fuckers to beat us. So that's first. Second of all, Lord, we about to lose.
We about to lose. I'm the same way. You ain't never gonna hear that shit come out of my mouth.
What?
I'm not even gonna put that on wax. Listen, go ahead, wrap it up.
Yeah, bro. I don't know. I don't know how you build a score with that.
You ain't gonna hear it come out of my mouth that I picked the Saints to win. So
rise up. Falcons win the game. Whatever the score is, we win. Smith still gotta go.
Art still gets fired.
Still gotta go.
Oh,
you toilet bowl dwellers.
Hey, I'm gonna see you in 1 week at the number 8 pick again. We trapped in the damn we in Inception. We in the loop.
This is so stupid, bro. Like, this is sick. We should file a grievance with the NFL FA. They need a fan association. Forget the PA. They ain't doing enough for us.
Hey, if you see me in a blue Seahawks jersey, mind your business.
We can definitely wrap it up on that. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for this excellent episode of King's Landing. This has been your co-host, Brian King. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at KingHead57 and my brother, Jared King, at @_TheKing_ on X. Holla. Rise up. We're going to beat the Saints. Arthur Smith still got to go.
Simple.